Hallelujah. In his book, Right and Wrong Thinking, Brother Kenneth E. Hagin says this: what we believe is a result of our thinking. If we think wrong, we will believe wrong. If our believing is wrong, our confession will be wrong. In other words, what we say will be wrong. It all hinges on our thinking. But then he said this: but the word of God has been given to us to straighten out our thinking. Amen. That's what I want to talk to us about tonight from the word of God. Not just talk about that, but actually talk a little bit and maybe some give a practical example and application of how to take the word of God, to put it in our thinking, and how to spend time, if you will, chewing on that. You know, if you're raised in farm country, or especially around cattle of any kind, you know this: a cow has more than one stomach. Okay? And so they'll eat something, get it digested so far, and go into one stomach. Then they'll pull it out and chew on it again and get it down. And finally, you know, they'll get it to where they can digest it fully. But that idea of chewing on it over and over and over again is kind of the idea of what we're going to talk about tonight. So I want us to read some scriptures first of all. First, let's go to the book of 3 John. 3 John, and we're going to look at verse 2. You would, I guess if you're going to write it, you would say 3 John chapter 1 verse 2, but that's the only chapter. So 3 John. So like the youth group member years ago asked me, "You talking about Big John or Little John?" This is Little John, the third book, if you want to say it his way. Praise the Lord. 3 John, and we're going to read in verse 2 here. Now, this is John, the same John who wrote the gospel, who wrote the book of Revelation. And here he writes, "Beloved," so this is written to Christians here, okay? He says, "I wish," the margin actually says, "I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Your soul prospers. Your soul, you know, we are triune beings. The Bible talks about us being spirit, soul, and body. The spirit is the eternal in the image of God. When we're born again, we're new creatures in Christ. It is our spirit that is born again. We have a soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And of course, we live in this body. Everybody, you've encountered your body today, haven't you? Well, you've encountered your soul too, because you've thought about something today. How many of you have made a decision today, one way or the other? How many of you, you know, you had to make a decision of your will to do something? That's in your soul. And your soul and spirit are connected for eternity. We see some examples of that. We don't have time to get into it tonight. But we know the soul is so important because that's where the decisions are made. We're going to decide to follow our spirit and follow the word of God, follow the leading of the spirit of God, or we're going to decide to do what our flesh wants to do. All right? And so that soul is so important. So he says, "I pray above all things." You think about this. Here is John, the apostle whom Jesus loved, he called himself. John, who wrote the final gospel we have written. He wrote the book of Revelation. And he says, above all else, that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Evidently, prospering in life. Let's say it this way. Being successful in life is directly tied to the prosperity of our soul. Or, let's say it this way, to the health of our soul. And, of course, a big part of that is our thinking. As we read, brother, if you think wrong, you're going to believe wrong. Thank God for the word of God. Amen. Well, let's go to Romans chapter 12. And these are some familiar scriptures that we're looking at tonight. You know, I would be remiss if I didn't say it's always an honor to be in this pulpit any time, but especially on a night where Pastor Hagin's usually here. And so to fill in this night is an immense honor and also a great responsibility. Amen. And we so love our pastors, and they're doing, I know he's preaching up a storm, going to preach up a storm tonight up in Granger, Indiana, up there at the Clars Church. Hallelujah. Good friends of ours from many years. Romans 12, verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. One thing to notice in this, here, just in verse 1, four times he told us, he said you. So we're the ones who are going to have to do this. God won't do it for us. All right. Verse 2 then. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove it is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, Christianity is a transformed lifestyle. You know, God's way of doing things is not how the world does it. And so we've got to retrain ourselves and transform the way we're thinking. How many of you have ever played with a squishy ball? Tried to work your, you know, muscles, whatever. You got these balls, that, like a racket ball or something. Even now they've got, you know, now they call them stress relieving balls, I guess, okay? But you squeeze them, and when you squeeze it, you conform it to whatever shape you, but as soon as you let it go, what happens? It goes right back. See, the world wants to conform us, but God's word will literally transform us. More like we're clay and he is the potter. And that word shapes us. If you never were good with clay like me, how many of you got one of those pots at home, or you know, hope it's not around anymore, right? But let's talk about something. Let's talk about Play-Doh. Now, there we go. Play-Doh. You push on Play-Doh, it keeps it the shape that you transformed it to. And the Word of God will transform us, and it does it from the inside out. But it takes place, it comes from the renewing. Everybody say renewing. The renewing of our mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 now. See, his word already, you don't have to ask it. His word has this inherent ability already. It is transforming. It is mind renewing in its scope and in its nature. God's word. What we're really talking about is we're not going to turn it, but really putting on the mind of Christ. Thinking like God thinks. We have the mind of Christ. Glory to God. It belongs. We have the right to think like God. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, I know for years, you know, when you came out of the denominational church, you got over amongst the charismatics, you know, it seems like at least the group I was around, everything was a devil or a demon, you know. So these strongholds had to be demons. And they may be, but I want you to notice that's not the context here. The context is our thinking. Notice verse 5, casting down imaginations. I got a note in my Bible that says the imaginations, or could be translated reasonings. Where do you reason things out? In your mind. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What does that mean? That means you make a change. You're ready to make a change in my thinking. Let God be true and every man a liar, even me. If I'm reading God's word and it, you know, how many of you ever read God's word and it changed, it was different than what you thought? I've been there a lot. And you know, you'd think after 38 years you wouldn't have that, but it still happens all the time. You keep reading God's word and you see it, and, oh, it changes, you know. Changes our thinking when we go ahead and allow it to have its place. But casting down. And so this process of taking these thoughts captive. Let's look over at Philippians chapter 4. I'm kind of going through these and just commenting because we're actually going to talk about in some other ways and then come back maybe to some of these principles. Philippians 4:8. I'm going to read this first of all from the King James. Then I want to read it from the New King James. Then I want to read it from the Message Bible. So first of all, King James, verse 8, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, we can go through there and it doesn't hurt. You can go through there and do a word study and all. What does true mean? What's honest mean? But can I give you an overall description and definition of what he just said? Think on the word. Every one of those things would describe God's word. But he said, think on these things. Now, the New King James says, finally, brethren, what things are true, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any, I went back and read from the King James. Let me stop, reverse. Let me read the New King James. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I want to introduce that word meditate here. God invented meditation. It didn't come from some Eastern religion somewhere. God invented meditation, okay? And so we're going to talk about it from God's standpoint. I like the Message Bible here. Summing it all up, friends. I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. I like that. Summing it up. Fill your minds and meditate on these things. You see, taking thoughts captive. What am I thinking about? What am I allowing my thoughts to dwell on? And if it doesn't fit these definitions, I've got to take that thought captive. All right? And I've got to replace it with something that is, and it is in the Word of God. So let's go to Joshua 1:8. Now, while you're going there, I want to read to you a couple definitions. We're going to talk about this word meditate on my the Bible software program that I like is the eSword, because a lot of it's free, and it works on my phone, it works on my computer, it works on my pad. I like, you know, you can get to it a lot of times, and if you've got it downloaded, you don't have to have an internet connection, all that. And you get several different things. And there's some parts of it you have to purchase, but some of it, a lot of it is free. On that, they have the old Webster's Dictionary. Noah Webster was a Christian, you know. And a lot of times he would give an example of his word, and he'd do it from Scripture. And from the 1800s. But he defined the word meditate as this. Now listen to this. To dwell on anything in thought. All right, to dwell on it in your thoughts, to contemplate. Here's something I hadn't realized this was part of meditation, but if I look at this definition, to study. How many of you, you're not necessarily thinking, but how many of you like to get out your notes and you get out your Bible and you're studying something? Well, you're, according to this definition, you are meditating the word. Amen. When you do that. Looking up, you know, the meaning, bridging that linguistic gap that we have between the language that the Bible was written in originally and what we have today, bridging that gap, finding out what those words. I thank God you don't have to be a language scholar to read what a scholar said. Aren't you glad? He said, to turn or revolve any subject in the mind. Now he says appropriately. He said it better than I did, but anyway. But not exclusively used of pious contemplation or consideration of the great truths of religion. And then he goes on and says, here's another definition he gives. He says, to plan by revolving in the mind, to contrive, to intend, to think on, and again, to revolve in the mind. In other words, there's that idea of thinking on over and over and over and over again. You'll never get yourself in trouble, all right, when you keep thinking on the word. Now, so there's other thoughts you keep thinking on, they're going to cause you trouble, all right? So that's the word meditate. And then I want to read to you the definition given by W.E. Vines, Old Testament word study, and the word meditate that's used 25 times in the Old Testament. He said it's translated as to meditate, to moan, to growl. Actually, there's a scripture that talks about to growl like a lion, that low sound. To utter and to speak. See, part of meditation is to say it, not just think it, but to say it. He says this word is common in both ancient and modern Hebrew, found only 25 times in the Hebrew Old Testament. It seems to be a term. I can't even say that word. All right, it's above my pay scale there. All right, reflecting the sighing and low sounds one makes while musing, or at least as the ancients practiced it. He says this way from this in Joshua 1:8, it is to meditate. It brings out the idea of mental exercise and planning, often accompanied by low talking, seems to be reflected when you talk to yourself. All right. Now, this is the time it's okay to talk to yourself. When you're talking about the Word of God with yourself. Now, you know this. Everyone in here, all of us have conversations with ourselves. Sometimes people can hear it. Sometimes they can't. But we all are having conversations with ourselves. But what are we conversating about? See, that's important for us to go. So go to Joshua now. Did you go find Joshua 1, verse 8? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou or you, everybody say you, point at yourself and say you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then you shall make your way prosperous, then you shall have good success. Or you shall dwell on it, you shall think about it, you shall contemplate, you shall study, you shall turn or revolve it around in your mind, day and night. So evidently this is something you're able to do while you're doing other things. Amen. Amen. To spend time thinking on the Word of God. And all of us should come to the place of mental discipline to where we can think on the Word, but also take care of the daily activities on the job that we have to do. Amen. And that type of thing. Whatever it is you're doing. But taking that time, okay? Go to Psalm chapter 1. Now, while you're doing that, I want to remind in Joshua 1:8 there, he says, as we do that, it's going to produce something. He said, what's going to happen when you meditate is that then you're going to be able to observe and to do. Everybody say observe. That would mean obey, right? And do. To observe and to do. Meditation is not just to bring knowledge. It's not just to puff me up with knowledge, okay? It is to get out of me, not only get the word, it doesn't necessarily come just to get the word in me, it's already in me, I'm thinking about it, but it's to get me to live according to what the word is saying. See, it produces something, all right? Now, so the psalmist here in Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Here again. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Here again, notice, when you do this, you're going to be fruitful. You're going to produce fruit. What kind of fruit? Whatever the Bible says you'll produce when you act on that. Okay? I think a lot of times we hear, and I'm guilty of it, you preach sermons and you tell, but you need to do it, but you don't necessarily say how or why, but this is the why, because when you get the Word of God and you begin to think about it, what it's going to produce, and I'll get a jump ahead of myself here, but it's going to produce an image of you doing what it is you're seeing in the Word. Amen. You know, I say this to students. When students come, they come to Rhema. All right? We're here, Rhema Bible Training College is here to train ministers. Yes, they get the Word in, but to train ministers. And so we have to make a change in our thinking. I'm no longer, now listen to me, I'm no longer the woman with issue of blood trying to get healed. I'm the one carrying the life and the power of God with me. I'm the minister. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. Now, I'm not saying I'm Jesus. You understand that. But I am his ambassador. He sent me here. He said, as you sent me, Father, I'm sending them. Now, again, don't go in the ditch. You're not the Christ. You're not the Messiah. Amen. Come on. All right? This is the wrong church for you if you want to think that way. We don't think that way. Okay? Now look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. And so this idea of thinking on the Word of God and to taking thoughts and examining those thoughts, you know, asking myself, is this me? Is this my thought? What's the Word say about this? How many times have you heard Pastor Hagin, and of course have you heard Brother Hagin and read the books, but you hear Pastor say it all the time. What would his dad tell him? What does the Word say about it? Because really anything else is a waste of time. If we're going to get somewhere, if we're going to produce what I think about it, my opinion doesn't matter, but it does affect me.
That's right. Yes, that's good.
So I got to, is this my opinion? Or is this what the Word actually says? Or is this the doctrine of devils? There is that possibility. But I've got victory over the devil, so I'm not blaming him for a whole lot. You know, I have to yield to him for him to have anything in my life. But is that me thinking? Is he taking that thought, examining it, bringing that thought captive? Almost like you're making an arrest. Amen. And holding that thought captive. And in a sense, if it's not God's thought, you're going to hold it for execution. Because you don't want that thought, you're going to get rid of that thought forever. Amen? And so, you know, I don't know how you see yourself right now of taking thoughts. Maybe you might be Barney Fife with your bullet in your pockets right now. Some of you in here, Barney Fife, who's Barney Fife? I'm sorry for you. The greatest TV police officer in the history of television. From one point of view, I guess. All right, I'm going to read this from the King James, then from the English Standard. I like that version. The King James says this, verse 14, 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Now he's talking to Timothy here, but I can bring enough scriptures to you to prove to you, you've got a gift. You've got a charisma from, you've got an endowment from God. So don't neglect it. Meditate upon these things, he says. Give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear unto all. Notice here again, there's going to be a result. An evidence that your thinking is changing. It's apparent to everybody when you make this change. Amen. We ought to have evidence. Glory to God. He said, take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, now notice this. Not only are you going to help me, in this you'll save yourself and them that hear you. I know in over the years, over well over 20 years now, ministering in East Africa there in Western Kenya. The ministry had been going, first trip was in 1996. But going over there, things became very evident quickly that you better make sure what you're preaching and teaching is the Word of God, because they're going to try to put it into practice immediately.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
And you saw that. And so, you know, it was always interesting in taking new people, and we've had the opportunity to take some students from here over there and take, it's just say, hey, just stay with the Word. Teach the basics, because that's what works. But you know, you go over there, and I've been over there at one time, and before every service, now they had never done this before when I was there, but this time every service, they're binding the devil and loosing the Holy Spirit before every service. Different people standing up, I bind you, Satan, and I loose the Holy Spirit. Well, first of all, you can't find that in the New Testament. Second of all, I ask them finally, I said, I want to know which one of you. Now, they know me well enough for me to do this. I mean, but I said, I want to know which one of you stayed here last night after this service and you let the devil out and you tied the Holy Spirit up. Because every service, we're binding the devil and loosing the Holy Spirit. See, somebody had taught that and they picked it up. It's not biblical. Yeah. Satan's defeated, folks. The Holy Spirit is on the loose. Amen. But they saw it. Then we taught, it was teaching. In fact, it was interesting because most of the time when I go, this is just a little side story, but most of the time when I go, I don't know exactly what I'm going to teach on. But this time I got the assignment 2 months before I went, teach on the authority of the believer when you go. Usually I don't. Usually I wait till I get there. I just pray and study and bit filled up and, you know. But that time the Lord told me, 2 months ahead of time, you want to teach on the authority. And at that time, in my, I had never even taught on the authority of the believer. But I could see what, see with that, why that took place. Now the English Standard Bible here, I like what this says. And so that's why I want to read it, especially in verse 15. But let's start in verse 14. Do not neglect the gift you have. Well, that's good for all of us there. Which was given you by prophecy with the counsel of the elders laid their hands on you. Verse 15. Now instead of meditate, and this really brings out the true meaning of this word in the New Testament, meditate. Practice these things. Oh, I like that. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. It's okay to practice the word. To start in. Now I've heard people, well, we don't practice, we do. Okay, Mr. Spiritual. Mr. Holier than all of us. But when we're training ourselves, what do you think training is? It's practice. We're practicing, we're thinking. Now the great thing about the Word of God, as I mentioned, it produces, words produce images. Have you ever thought about that? Let's do a little exercise here, okay? Now I want you to think along with me. Whatever I say, I want you to think dog. How many of you can see a dog? How many of you are thinking of a dog right now? All right, big dog. Now how many of you, when I said big dog, that you had to change what you were thinking because you're thinking of a little dog? Okay, now why did you change? Because words paint pictures. All right, big brown dog. Big brown long-haired dog. See, every time I add a word, it changes the picture. And every time I go to the Word of God and I see what it says about me, it changes the image I have of myself to what it says. And it's like what the Word says, I'm looking in a mirror and I'm becoming who I look at. Now the secret is, don't forget what you look like in the mirror. Well, how do you forget? By being a forgetful hearer and not a doer. See, when you do, when you practice, you remember. And you're conformed into transformed into that image that God has for us. Now let's go to Romans chapter 6. And this is just, we're just going to take this verse and I'm going to show you one way. Listen, I'm not presenting you the only way to meditate, okay? You let that develop as God has you. But I'm just going to show you how I go through this process. Matt, help you. I learned this years ago, especially in athletics. I was very observant. I would watch others and playing, and I would watch what they did. I could go to, especially after I got my driver's license, if we weren't having a game, especially in basketball, I would go and watch somebody else play. In fact, this one coach at this other kind of a rival town, and we were all friends, but we played against each other, competed against each other. I would go to so many of their games, their home games. He said, I'm going to give you a uniform. You're here so much. That coach said that. But I would go watch people. And I would watch what they do. And then I would try in my own time, I would try to incorporate that. I'd try to see if I could do that. Now, there's obviously some things that you couldn't do based on athletics. But you would watch technique and different things of that sort. I found I did that when I came over amongst the church and I knew I was called. I'd watch how the preacher would give the altar call. I'd watch how people would minister. I would watch all these things. Just be observant because you don't have to reinvent the wheel. How many of you know that? Okay. But I give this to you as kind of an example. But let's read Romans 6:14. He says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. And so in looking at that, obviously, one of the first things now I'm going to do is I'm going to look at this. I like on that eSword, it's got the King James with the Strong's numbers right there, and you hold your mouse over it, and it gives you a definition. But I'm going to look at this, and for sin, now I read not too long ago, I was reading again, Brother Hagin's book, The Triumphant Church. And he mentioned this verse. That's why I kind of wanted to bring it out, because I've been going over this again in my thinking. I've been looking at this. He mentioned here that sin, you could actually say sin and Satan are synonymous terms here. Because sin is of him. Amen. Right? And he said that sin or Satan shall not have dominion. Satan has no dominion over me. Now, in context here, it's because I'm crucified with Christ and I'm risen with him. But Satan, and so I'm thinking, okay, so Satan, sin has no more dominion of sin. Sin, what is involved with sin? What's the result? What's the fruit of sin? Well, because of sin, we've got sickness and disease. So he's saying here, sickness and disease no longer has any dominion over me. No rule over me. No authority over me. Poverty and lack is a result of sin. Because that was not God's plan. See, go back to what God said, I've given you everything. Of course, sinful lifestyle. Well, Galatians 5. What's it say the works of the flesh are? None of those things have dominion over me any longer. I'm a new creature in Christ. Amen. Adultery, fornication, anger, all those things, they don't have dominion over me. So I'm thinking, see, I'm building an image of being free. Even I am free because he says that, but I'm building that image of being free. And when I have that, I can live that. Whatever you see, you can have. Whatever you see, you can be from the Word of God. Sin, sickness and disease, poverty and lack, the second death, that eternal death, no longer has any rule over me, any authority over me. See, that's why I can say, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? But thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. See, notice that you see how I'm marrying other scriptures together with this. I can't help it. Okay? But sin no longer has dominion over me. What about a sin? No, I don't have to live a sinful life anymore. Because it doesn't have any rule over me. It has no authority in me. Now, I heard a friend of mine say this. In meditation, ask yourself this question. If this scripture was true in my life right now, how would my life be different? If sickness and disease no longer had any authority or rule in my life, what about my current condition? How would it be different? Would I have that pain running down my leg? Would I be talking about my sciatic? You see? See, what is that? That's an unrenewed mind. That someone has met, their mind is thinking on that. Instead of, wait a minute, that no longer has dominion over me. Glory to God. You see, met thinking in line with the Word of God. Thinking like, now listen, this is for every Christian. The book is written for all of us, right? It's not written to preachers, and it's written to everybody. Every one of us are able to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Praise God. You know, and looking, I'll just tell you where I am right now. I'm at the place where I'm trying to say, okay, God, if these things are true, if this is true, then when symptoms try to come to me, what's going to be my first response to that? Now, there's a time, you know, when you first get into these things, it's like, oh boy, I better get to one of a Living Faith crusade so Pastor Hagin can lay hands on me. And that's okay if that's where you are. But Brother Hagin taught, his brother Kenneth Hagin, E. Hagin would talk about the greatest way is to receive it yourself. By your own faith, receive it because the Word says it, then you keep it. And that's what he spent his ministry doing, teaching us his life. How many of you are thankful? Teaching us how to act on the Word for ourselves. But a big part of it is, how do we think? Amen? Here's the great thing. Every one of us can be transformed by the renewing of our mind when we take the Word and we meditate it. Okay? And so I don't care necessarily the formula, I just want to encourage you to begin. And not just, I know you're already doing some, but to begin and keep on Meditating the word. Think on the word. And in every situation, say, what does the word say about this? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Let's lift your hands and let's thank God for his word. Father, we just thank you tonight for your precious, holy word. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Father, I pray that this word would rise up and live big within each one of us. You'll bring the Holy Spirit, bring it to our remembrance that when we encounter whatever, when life happens, that we go to the word and we get our answers from the word and we're transformed by the renewing of our mind in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to go ahead and receive that birthday offering for Pastor Hagen. He turns 79. I believe it's Monday. Actually, his birthday's on Monday. But we want to go ahead and receive that right now. So if you want to give a check, you write it out to Rhema Bible Church or RBC. Put it in an envelope. Put Pastor Hagen on there in the other. If you want to text to give 28950, you can put Hagen in there. You give cash. Just please write on the outside, Pastor Hagen, on the envelope. Or you can put cash in there. This will all go towards that gift that will be given him. I believe it's going to be Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. But let's go ahead and do that, and let's just really, really be a great blessing to them, to him again this year. All right, you ready? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Pastor Hagen. We thank you, Father God. We honor him with this offering. Thank you for his ministry, his life. Thank you, Father God, for his health springing forth speedily. Thank you, Father God, for longevity and the wisdom that he has, and the mission and the calling that's upon his life to be a pastor, not only to us, but to people all over the world. We give you praise and honors. We give this tonight, Father. We give it in love. We give it in faith. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Go ahead and serve the folks. Hallelujah. Now, as soon as they are done, the ushers are done, we're going to let them clear so they can get to where they need to. Then we'll ask our connection team to find our guests. And you first-time guests, how many of you, while they're doing it, how many of you are here, you're in to start school? All right, look at all these hands. Welcome them. We're glad you're here. Praise the Lord. I know we actually have employee registration tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock, so those that work here, we do, so they can do that a little bit early. But then next Tuesday, first-year students, going to get registered and registered or whatever you want to call it. It's an exciting time. And we thank God for it. But you're here to go to Rhema. This is your church. Hey, there's a lot of great churches here. But God sent you to Rhema. So come to Rhema. The school and the church go together. And you'll get what you need by doing that. All right, just gonna say that. So pastor doesn't have to. But I'm going to say that to you. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. I kind of like this stage coming all the way out here because when you go to lean on, you're further out here, you know. It'd be really nice if they had a little thing that popped out and a little seat just sat there and I could just sit right there. I doubt that that's going to happen, very seriously. But it would be kind of fun. I was excited to hear that Ms. Hagen said it's only going to take 250 more thousand to do the hallways. Only that. I was like, praise God, we can do that. We've already done over 500,000 almost by accident. Nobody even noticed. It's like, hey, that people are still giving. Well, hey, we could if they'll keep giving, we'll just redo this carpet. So thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. It's fun to be around people who like to give. Isn't it? Robert, you guys all set back there? Everybody? Okay. Connection team, let's all stand up. Connection team, find those folks that are first-time guests. Please take them to that special place. We want you to go get a gift from Pastor and Mrs. Hagen and the Rhema Bible Church family. Please go pick that up with them. Go with them. Amen. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you want to rededicate your life. Maybe you want to be baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Or you want someone to agree with you in prayer and they'll do it according to the word of God. Ladies, come down. See ladies. Men, come see the men after service and they will pray with you tonight. All right. See, those folks are headed that way, it looks like. Praise the Lord. All right. All right. Well, before you leave, tell about five folks. That'll give them time to get up. Tell about five folks, I'm going to be transformed by God's word. And you can be dismissed.